This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, I remind you and I remind myself that the only thing that matters in this world and the next is whether we have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of offending the one that we love the most. The more we love Allah, the more taqwa will increase. And the reason why that is important is because a day will come when we will be brought to the masjid for others to pray over us. Salatul Janazah. Today, Alhamdulillah, after the salah, we are going to pray Salatul Janazah for our sister Darvisa Kathika, Rahmatullah Alayha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to grant her Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi Ghairi Hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save her from the azab of the qabr, to fill her qabr with noor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise her with the shuhada wa salihin wa nabiyyin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise her and give her the shade of his arsh on the day when there is no shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep her family with her, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her family sabr. This day will come for every single one of us, without exception. Whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, whether we agree or not, this day will come. Taqwa is to prepare for this day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his kalam in Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al-Isra, the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Subhana الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, glorified and exalted is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above all the evil they associate with Him, who took His slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam on a journey by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah to Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, the neighborhood of which, the surrounding of which, barakna hawlahu, the surroundings of which Allah said, we have blessed, linuriyahu min ayatina, in order that we might show him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our ayat, our signs. Innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir, he, jalla jalaluhu, is the all-hearer and the all-seer. narrated Malik bin Sa'sa radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while I was at the Kaaba and I was sleeping in the Mataf and I was in a state between sleeping and awakening, between two people. On one side of him was Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, and on the other side of him was Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an angel came and he recognized me, and a golden tray full of wisdom and belief was brought to me, and my body was cut open from the throat to the lower part of the abdomen, and then my abdomen was washed with Zamzam water, and my heart was filled with wisdom and belief. Al-Buraq, a white animal, smaller than a mule and bigger than a donkey, was brought to me, and I set out with Jibreel alayhi salam. When I reached the nearest heaven, Jibreel alayhi salam said to the gatekeeper, open the gate. The gatekeeper said, who is it? And Jibreel alayhi salam said, Jibreel. The gatekeeper said, who is with you? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. The gatekeeper said, has he been called? Jibreel alayhi salam said, yes. And then the gatekeeper said, he is welcomed. What a wonderful visit is his. And then Rasulullah said, I met Adam alayhi salam. I greeted him and he said, welcome, O son and a prophet. And then Rasulullah said, we went to the second heaven and the same conversation happened. And in the second heaven, he said, I met Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. And they said, you are welcome, O brother, and a prophet. And then they went to the third heaven and the same question and answer happened. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I met Yusuf alayhi salam and I greeted him and he replied, you are welcome, O brother and a prophet. And then we ascended to the fourth heaven and again the same questions and answers were exchanged as in the previous heavens. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I met Idris alayhi salam and I greeted him and he said, you are welcome, O brother and prophet. And then we ascended to the fifth heaven and again the same questions and answers were exchanged. And there he said, I met Harun alayhi salam and he said, you are welcome, O brother and a prophet. And then we ascended to the sixth heaven and again the same questions and answers were exchanged. And there he said, I met and greeted Musa alayhi salam, who said, you are welcome, O brother and a prophet. When I proceeded on, he said, Musa alayhi salam started to weep. And I asked him, why are you weeping? And he said, O Rabb, followers of this youth who were sent after me will enter Jannah in greater number than my followers. We ask Allah to make us among them, inshallah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we ascended to the seventh heaven. And again, the same questions and answers were exchanged. And there I met and I was greeted by Ibrahim alayhi salam and he said, you are welcome, O son and a prophet. Then I was shown Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house above the house of Allah on this earth, the Kaaba. I asked Jibreel alayhi salam about it and he said, this is Al-Baytul Ma'mur where 70,000 angels, they come and pray, they make tawaf every day. And when they leave, they never return to it. Every day it is a new batch of 70,000 angels who come every day. Imagine, Allah gave us the ability to go to the Kaaba any number of times. The Malaika don't have this. The one who goes once, khalas, never again. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was shown Sidratul Muntaha, which is a tree in the seventh heaven, and I saw its nabak, the fruits, which resembled the clay jugs of Hajar, which is a town in Arabia, and its leaves were like the ears of elephants, and four rivers originated at its root. Two of them were apparent and two were hidden. I asked Jibreel alayhi salam about those rivers, and he said, the two hidden rivers are in Jannah, and the visible rivers are the Nile and the Euphrates. Then 50 prayers were enjoined on me.
And I descended till I met Musa, who asked me, what have you done? What has happened? And I said, 50 prayers have been enjoined on me. Musa alayhi salam said, I know people better than you. Because I had the hardest experience to bring Bani Israel to obedience. Your followers cannot put up with this obligation. So return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and request Him to reduce the number of prayers. And then we know this whole hadith to the end where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually reduced it to 5. And when He came back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam said, no, even 5 they can't do. Even 5 they cannot do. Was Musa alayhi salam right or was he right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I feel very shy to go back to Allah and ask Him to reduce His ni'mah. What is salah? It is the honor of Allah. It is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. He said, I'm not going to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, and He knows this whole thing happening. He knows all of this. And He knows all this is going to happen. And He allowed it to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have decreed my obligation. Meaning, I have made it 5. And I have reduced the burden on my slaves. But I will reward them according to my original decree. Which is, let them pray 5 and I will give them worth 50. This is the shan of the ruler, of the malik. Al-malik ul-haqq alladhi la ilaha illa ant. Huwa rabbul arshil kareem. What he gives, he doesn't take back. When I first went and prayed in Medina, in Masjid Nabawi Sharif, in the white carpeted area, Riyadul Jannah, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this piece between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. I made dua. And I said, Ya Rab, You allowed me into Jannah. And Your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who is allowed into Jannah will never be sent out. And it is your shan. When you give, you don't take back. You allowed me to Jannah. Keep me in Jannah. And I make the same dua for all of you, inshallah. When you go to Riyadul Jannah, make this dua. Say, Allah, You allowed me inside here. Now keep me here. Meaning, when I meet You, give me Jannah. Because You already gave me Jannah here in this dunya. So don't send me out. Of course, this is not magic. This also means that we then do the actions of the people of Jannah. You can't make dua for Jannah and then do the actions of the people of Jahannam. My brothers and sisters, the month of Rajab is most famous for the incident of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The exact date of this journey is not known. However, all the Mufassireen and the scholars of Islam have agreed upon that it took place in the month of Rajab. So what must we do about these momentous events? The event has two aspects. On the one hand, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed and bestowed on Rasulullah to comfort and honor him at a time when he was grief-stricken and he was sorely tried with hardship upon hardship from the Quraysh. It was a unique honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to Rasulullah which He didn't grant to any other human being either before or after him. It brought great relief to him, renewal, resurgence in the spirit of devotion and the da'wah that illuminated the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the culmination of this elevation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the unique gift and honor of salah, which is the only hukum of Allah that was given above the heavens. Everything else came on the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was excited and thrilled and hugely energized. And he came with this gift. The first person that he mentioned this to was his companion, his Sahabiya, the Abyssinian lady, Ayman, radiallahu anha, who was his nurse when he was born, and was the only person who knew him from the day he was born to the day he died. Who was with him from the day he was born to the day he died, no one else, Ayman, radiallahu anha. So when he told her this, her response illustrates the second aspect of this miraculous journey. Ayman radiallahu anha, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe you. But don't tell anyone else about this. He said, I have iman, I believe you. But do not tell anyone else about it. He replied, but I have been ordered. I have been commanded to tell the people. And that is the second aspect of this miracle, of this mu'jizah, which is that it was, and may Allah forgive us, continues to be a huge test for the people in how well they believed in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two aspects. One, the personal honor and ni'mah on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. The second, what does it mean to us? It's a test. Of what? Test of our iman. Test of our yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم announced this, Abu Jahl was informed. Somebody went to him and they said, this is what Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, that he went on this journey from Makkah to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem in the heavens and he came back and all this happened in one night. Abu Jahl literally came running. And he said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, tell me the story. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him the whole story. He said, what you are saying, is it true? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. He said, I am going to bring a lot of people here. Will you say the same story to them or will you change it? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sure, I will tell them the same story. Why would I change it? It is the truth. Abu Jahl thought, well, I got him now. He is going to destroy his own credibility by his own tongue. He came back with a huge crowd. And then he said, Ya Muhammad, tell the story. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them the story. There were people mocked him, they laughed, they fell all over themselves, you know. And may Allah protect us, some Muslims were also with them and they apostated, they left Islam. With this story, they left Islam. Because what's going on in their heads? How is it possible? How is it possible? We travel from Makkah to Jerusalem every year in the trading caravans. They used to do that. That was their journey. From when they went to Sham, they went through this. Takes us a month. And the fact that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they asked him questions. They said, describe Masjid Al-Aqsa. They knew he had never been there. Describe Masjid Al-Aqsa. He described, what did you see in Aqsa? I saw this. He literally described spots, places. He told them there is a caravan coming and they lost the camel and that camel is in such and such a place. Because I was flying, I saw this. And he said they were carrying water on one of their mounts and I drank from this water. They sent a rider to check with those people. And those people said, yeah, we found the camel. Yes, it was there. And yes, somebody took some water from this. But that didn't convince them. Test. Why? How is it possible? This whole operation itself, I can explain to you, not because I am a neurologist or a neurosurgeon or a cardiologist, but through multidimensional theory, using Michio Kaku's book, Hyperspace. How this is possible to be done, not by you and me, don't try it, but from a being who is operating in a different dimension higher from this, how this is entirely possible. That's not the point. That is not the point. The point is not giving a so-called scientific explanation. The point is, do you believe in Allah? If Allah said, I did this, do we believe that because Allah said He did it? That is the issue. So the test continues. Do we believe in Allah and in His power to do anything? What is the meaning of anything? Anything means anything. Anything means everything I know and everything I do not know. Everything I understand and everything I do not understand. Yes? Do we believe this? It's a test of, do we believe in our meeting with Allah? And even more importantly, it is a test of our belief and our allegiance and of honoring the gift and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us by making sure that we never ever miss a fard salah in our life. That we pray that fard salah not as a burden, but as a manifestation of the izzah that Allah gave us to connect with Him Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the issue of test of belief. While all this was going on, somebody went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. He was not there. He was not part of this whole group. He was in his house. Somebody went to him. They said, you know what your friend is saying? He said, what is he saying? They told him. He said, this is the story. This is what he's saying. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu gave an answer, which is incidentally the test of the authenticating of a hadith from that day onwards. His answer was, he said, if he said it, I believe. So what is that? What do you need to check? Did he actually say it? If we're not checking whether, oh, he said it, but, you know, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. No. Did he say it? Because may Allah protect us. People have fabricated a hadith. People have ascribed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam things that he never said. Even though one of the authentic hadith, one of the sahih hadith of Rasulullah, he said, if anyone ascribes to me something that I have not said, he will find his own place in Jahannam. But people have done. And interestingly, on a side note, there is one of my teachers and one of my very dear friends, Sheikh Akram Nadwi, who was the head of Islamic studies in Oxford. He wrote a book called Al-Muhaddithat, the female narrators and teachers of hadith. This book is in 50 volume, 50, in Arabic. The Muqaddimah of that book, the introduction of the book, is a separate book of 300 pages, and the Muqaddimah has been translated into English. It's worth reading. Al-Muhaddithat. One of his findings, and in this Al-Muhaddithat, the whole story of how it happened, I won't go into all that, but this is the short biographies of 9,000, not one or two, 9,000 female scholars and teachers of a hadith, starting from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, from our mothers, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and so on, downwards, Umm Darda radiallahu anha, one of the Sahabiyats used to teach, and so on. His finding is that yes, there are a lot of fabricated hadiths, but no woman in the history of Islam ever fabricated a hadith. All the fabricated hadiths are done by men. No woman ever told a lie about Rasulullah. In 1400 years, no woman ever lied about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is data. This is historical recorded data. Sawakar Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, if he said it, I believe. They asked him, how can you believe? Yes, he said it. There's no doubt about this. It's absolutely true. He said it. But how can you believe it? He said, this is very simple. We believe much more than that. He said, what is this? He said, we believe in Allah. Have you seen Allah? We believe in the day of judgment. Have you seen the day of judgment? He said, we believe in Jannah and Jahannam. Have you seen Jannah and Jahannam? What is this? He said, if we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he can do whatever he wants, then he can do whatever he wants. Period. What's the argument? What's so difficult to believe this? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the gift is Salah. Rasulullah prayed without fail until his last day, when he had to be brought to the masjid on his insistence, supported by two people. He never left Salah ever for any reason. Today, people celebrate Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, Shab-e-Mi'raj, Laylatul Mi'raj, right? So you have people singing anashid and this and that, decorating masjid, lighting up and then somebody will do a big khatira and a big waz all this we do. And then we make a claim, it was on the 27th of Rajab. There is no ground for this claim. But what about Salah? First of all, should it be celebrated? Rasulullah ﷺ never did it. Sahaba never did it. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. But following year, did he say, you know what? On this day, this happened, so now we are going to celebrate. Did he say that? No. So if you are celebrating within courts, with some event, Laylatul Mi'raj, you are doing something which is not in the Sunnah. What should we celebrate? Rasulullah ﷺ celebrated Laylatul Mi'raj 5 times a day. That is the celebration. The celebration of Laylatul Mi'raj, Shab-e-Mi'raj, is to pray our Fard Salah on time. That is the celebration. Allah gave us this honor. We express our shukr, our thanks, by fulfilling that. My brothers and sisters, there are many ahadiths emphasizing the importance of Salah. I don't think I need to narrate all of them here. They're all in the text of this khutbah anyway. Only one I want to say, which is very direct and clear and very hard. Rasulullah said, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Faman aradaha faqad kafara. Rasulullah said, between, and this is in Muslim, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrated, he said, verily, between us and them, this is from Surah Tirmidhi, and this is Buraydah radhiyallahu anhu. He reported, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the covenant, al-ahadu alladhi, the ahad, the covenant between us and them, which differentiates us, is salah. Faman a'adaha faqad kafara. The one who abandons it, the one who leaves it, has left Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to appreciate and to make use and to benefit from and to take strength from this beautiful resource that He gave us, which is As-Salah. Rabbana faqfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir lana sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taqfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. Rabbi qfir wa arham wa anta khairul rahimin. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Ibad Allah, Rahimakum Allah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.